Blog Talk Radio.
Give you some information. In fact, if you go to my archive going way back, during the time of September 11th and after, you'll find the complete forensic record from Chomsky, from every person, from the scientific community, law enforcement, whistleblowers. It came forth and talked about the facts of 9/11. I am a 9/11 whistleblower. I explained this years ago, but again, black folks have no voice. Black folks are not heard. It looks as though that we don't get involved or not near things when many of us have seen and been involved with things. Some people have decided not to say anything. I took a stance that I was an American. I would come forward, talk about the situation I saw from flight schools on coming out of Chicago and the area. And what did they get me in the end? Nothing. Ill health, sought out, trapped, parked. How would this parking mean to you? Parking to me means when somebody gets you somewhere and you can't leave. It's kind of like a hidden trap. Like you're there, and can't escape. It's kind of like being a prisoner in invisible walls. This country has already been brought down, and you just have not realized it. Yesterday, I looked in the news in Chicago. There were at least two high-level protest marches, one in regards to a situation of no trauma centers in the south side of Chicago. People are concerned about putting a library in when universities have closed the trauma center. Michael Reese Hospital was shut down, so the nearest trauma centers now are Northwestern Hospital or Cook County, and the emergency rooms are swollen so badly, and people have to travel miles and miles to get to these centers and wait so long that many, many patients die. They marched, they sat, and they complained. And some people were arrested. And there was a secondary march yesterday because people are tired. Some of you are. And my story is long, and I will briefly tell you what happened to me in 2010. I started researching some information. I started seeing building up. See, I take timelines, events, and I measure and look at and analyze and see what the past will bring to the future. So in 2011, there was a story that came out in regards to the gentleman with the IMF, a man who was in New York, the president of the IMF, and his involvement with a maid. I have a website about it. If you look up Wix.com, not IMF, and put my name in, it should pop up. If you go to Wix.com, DM Burley, there's a lot out there that I put together. Each show, I try to put together a website showing the timelines and events and things that are tied to things, and a lot of people don't look at it. And the ones out there that do and get it, well, you know. But then the ones that I know get it and start targeting me. In 2011, the IMF president went into a New York hotel, and he was alleged involved with a maid. It said that it was a rape. So anyway, I did a massive background check on the maid and what was going on at the time, and I found out that the IMF president was backing the dinar, and he was backing the dinar, which was being offered up by Gaddafi, and that because of what he was doing, it put a string of events together because they basically were fighting for who was going to dominate the currency of the world. Dinar, the euro dollar, the ruble, all these dollars that stood in front of the United States dollar that was dwindling in worth. I started going into a massive research of these events, and I found out the woman that accused the gentleman of rape happened to have other pictures of herself in different dials, and traced it back to South Africa, and I traced her to being what I thought, and I was alleging, alluding to in the report, that she could have been some type of person sent in to set him up, to remove him out of the office of IMF because of his ties and his backing of Gaddafi. Well, in October 2011, that was the same day that a drone dropped from the sky and blew up the cars that was in Gaddafi's entourage, and Gaddafi was murdered. And in that month, that same month in October 2011, I had a series of things happen to me. And this is what they do to whistleblowers. And I'll talk about the late Sherman Skolnick, and I'll talk about Mike Rupert of Will the Wilderness, and a whole bunch of others had been lost along the way, murdered, harassed, singled out, placed in isolation, have no money, nothing. No one will hire them. It's almost like a secret op. It is a secret op, and they do this. And the thing I'm putting out there is that you need to be aware this is what they're doing to whistleblowers. Could be a scientist. Could be whoever. If you come out and start talking, this is when they come after you. And if you go off the air, by the way, go off the grid, that's when they really come after you. Because I went off the grid recently, and they started doing stuff again. So you can't leave the air. You can't leave because they will set you up. They have enough criminal base of connections that your tax dollar is paying for to involve and corrupt and close down anyone talking about what they're doing. I'm putting this out here for a record so that you know if anything happens to me, who did what. Well, in October 2011, after the situation with the IMF, and I had the pictures of this woman and different hairstyles and all this information of where she was coming out of and this, that, and the other, and then the IMF president being involved with okaying and backing the Gaddafi dollar, the dinar, and I put that on the website. Well, lo and behold, after that and after Gaddafi was murdered because of his ties to bringing the dinar into a huge currency base, the dinar was being not only backed by the African Union, it was also a military behind it. And Gaddafi had hit what he felt all the pieces in place to bring together a united dollar worldwide currency, which would be the dinar. Bitcoin was out, and that was struggling and fighting for the same thing. It was a coin that was being offered through the internet. That was by, if I remember, an Oriental gentleman, they alleged, but then we're not sure if it was him because the vice president of Bitcoin, she ended up dead, laying dead on the street. Again, there can only be one currency. Well, I was trying to struggle with ill health. I had put that out there all over the place that I was going through a lot of nightmares. A lot of people on the internet, various other places knew what I was going through because I put it out there seeking out help, which I got none. As I was going around, I decided to launch out looking for ads that were on Craigslist to drive people, as it was the only form of income I could get, I felt. So anyway, one gentleman had an ad, and I contacted him, or I'm not sure if it was vice versa, if he contacted me from an ad I had. This man needed to get to and from his work. He was way out in the north suburbs, and his job was way out in the northwest suburbs in another direction. He contacted me, and I drove him to work once, and he told me that he would use me again. So anyway, on this fateful day, right after I got off my radio show, I was in the city of Schaumburg, and I get a call. It's around close to 7 o'clock. The same man that I drove a couple of times before calls me and pleads with me. Can you come and get me, please? I'm stranded. A voice in my head said, no, don't do it. Don't do it. It was something I did not trust about this whole arrangement. But he kept calling and calling me, telling me he had no way to get because his home was almost 40 miles away from his job that he had that he just started. So with this check in my spirit, I still got onto the ramp of the expressway, which was Route 53. And I headed up north, and as I was driving, I spotted a state trooper. I'm a former deputy, and I spot them just as much as they spot me. I have the same mentality, same mindset. it's kind of like we're wolves of the world. We're watching people. I watch, they watch, and everybody's watching each other. So anyway, as I'm driving, I'm noticing the trooper following me. I'm watching him as he passes me, he goes to his shoulder and stops, and then I pass him by, and he proceeds to follow me all the way up to Lake Cook Road. I get off at Lake Cook Road, and he goes off the expressway, which I, in my head, I said, this is odd. I was doing speed, but I wasn't doing anything. My car was in perfect condition. No lights were out. The light plate was on. I checked the car thoroughly before I got on the road because I know how they operate. Anything to entrap, anything to do to take you off the road, to take you off to this. So I headed down Lake Cook Road to where he was. I went to pick him up. And then as I drove him back, the same state trooper was following me. Yes. Still followed me down the street. And this is close to like, I guess it was 9, 10 o'clock at night. It was sort of rainy. It was raining real hard. And I get to the bridge, and I get over the bridge of 53, and the sirens come on. I'm like, what's going on? I'm pulled over, and I'm saying to him, now what is happening? Now, I was seatbelted in, he was seatbelted in, and I saw them coming, so I reached around to get my purse because I was at a full stop, and also my key was off, so I wasn't moving the car. I had the right to take the seatbelt off. I had the right to twist around. I had the right to do whatever I was doing in the car because the car was not in motion. From 0 to 5, unless you're moving the car, it's a moving violation. Any ticket that any person gives you, unless it's a situation you parked illegally. So anyway, he gets out, comes to my car, and I'm looking behind, and there's two state trooper cars, and I'm like, what's going on? Two of them approached the other side where the driver, the passenger is, a gentleman with white, by the way. I'm African-American, as those people listening to my show know. He came up to me, and he said to me, your driver's license, I gave him that, and proof of insurance, I gave him that. And then he said, I'll be right back. And I said, excuse me, what did I do? And he hesitated, and he wouldn't answer. And I said, well, what did I do? His response was, you have your seatbelt on backwards. I was just floored and taken back. And I said, where in the state law does it say anything about seatbelt backwards? And how do you put a seat backwards? At the time, I was on public radio, and I went on public radio about this statement made by this state trooper. It came out of Elgin, by the way, and the offices were located. Main office was in Des Plaines. So anyway, he took my driver's license, came back, and I showed him on my Android phone, there's no law in seatbelt law. And he still stood there, and he took my driver's license, which I thought was very strange, because, see, on a stop, they have to tell you what you stop for. Seatbelt backwards doesn't exist. He was behind me. He was never on the side of me. My windows were tinted, so he couldn't see in my car in the first place. So it was a lie for the stop. It couldn't have been a revenue stop because later on in the story, I found out he was off duty. He wasn't even supposed to be following me. They had no reason to follow me. And then the thing that was really strange was I was angry. I went over to the barracks, the state troopers over in Elgin. I wrote an affidavit. They told me they couldn't accept that, so I went back and I filled out some papers and got it notarized and gave it to them of the event that happened. And then as this is going into the morning hours the next day, I was heading down the road. I ended up on Northwest Highway, and as I was going northbound on the Northwest Highway, an accident occurred. I was hit by a Mack truck. As I think about the accident, I was looking at it in a very, very interesting way. because the way that accident happened and occurred, somebody was trying to set me up first, the first thing with that state trooper. And I called up, I thought it was the state troopers under the Secretary of State. I called them and they said it wasn't theirs. It was coming from the governor's state troopers, this gentleman. So anyway, as I was going down the road, this Mack truck, dump truck, I heard the wheels screeching. It hit the back of my minivan I was driving. The windows smashed out in the back. Glass flew out towards me. And I almost could have been killed had it not been to the fact I know how to maneuver in driving. There was another car that was coming into the intersection illegally, by the way, that almost cut me off. I was able to stop before that happened. And then this truck screeched from quite a distance and ran into the back of my vehicle. When the police came, they came to the car. After they were called, the gentleman that hit me was a Latino. And the police officer was very concerned about this man not losing his job because he had a family. I was shocked. I didn't realize how badly I was injured. That's when I had injured my neck and my back. And from that point, I've had huge amounts of problems with my back and neck. Somebody contacted me and somebody else that was doing a show with and told me about this attorney to go to. So I went to his law firm, and the law firm I had contacted, they told me, oh, don't worry about anything. We'll take care of the case, and sent me to a doctor. And the doctor came up with, it was just nonsense what happened. You can't even believe what happened after that. From 2011 up to now, I'm still fighting that case to try to get that resolved. But what I'm seeing is that it was a fraud in the first place, and it probably never will be resolved because it was set up from the beginning. The insurance company, in fact, when I lost my car, sent a check out, and the check was signed by somebody who wasn't even registered to sign for checks for the insurance company. So when I went to cash it through their bank that it was registered for the check, they came in and they said, well, the check was a fraud. So I went off about it, and then anyway, the company sent another check in immediately. But the whole issue was it was totally set up, and I didn't realize why and how it was connected. Also, during that time, too, I had another gentleman on the show. It was a whistleblower, a Russian gentleman. And he spoke about how he knew who was involved with putting whatever it was in the Trade Center that caused it to go down. Anyway, that guy was on my show, and I found out later on that he was captured and arrested and held somewhere. I don't know where he is today, but I got that information not too long ago. You see how dangerous this is to report even things in the media. The mainstream does not report what's going on, really. They're paid, they're hired, controlled by the corporates. And the thing is that the other folks out there reporting things that you ignore have very much information that you should listen to and absorb of what's going on and how your tax dollar is being used and being used in a way that's bringing down this whole country. So anyway, I had that accident, and then from then I could not get any work. I had been moving around, and a whole bunch of other incidents back and back all happened as my health started failing even more. My blood pressure went up real high because of the amount of pain I was having from my back and neck. Tingling in my hands and feet began because of all the pain. And neuropathy, they started calling it. They said this and that and the other. No cures. No one would do anything in regards to the amount of pain I was having from my neck and my back. And folks out there, they have that. You know what I'm talking about. I tried to deal with the pain and the other medical conditions I had prior to, from 2011 on. It dawned on me the other day because I was thinking about this. I was thinking about Mike Ruber. He left. He was with in the wilderness. I spoke to him before he left, and he said, Deanne, look, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to leave. I got to get away. Same thing with Christopher Boland. He had to flee out of there because they attacked him out in Hoffman Estates. He was driving his car to the store and came over and they tasered him and put him through the system. I explained to him what was going on and he didn't listen to me. And then anyway, he had to flee and he fled out of the country where he stays right now. Many people flee out from wherever they are and find out they can't even stay where they are. They're not used to that environment. So they end up coming back in the same spooks and nightmares that they had gone through before, right there waiting for them and reading them. Other individuals, you know, try to find out, like Lay Sherman Skolnick. He was at 9800 South Ogilvie for years, and it got so bad that he could not even go into a court building because they put him on the list of being a combat terror. So if he came in the court or went into a court building, which he was doing through his report, he was immediately to be arrested. And he told me before he had passed away, it took away his whole life, what they had done to him. One time they even picked him up and he went to this thing. They had told him that he was going to be honored as a you know, great talker, you know, for the cause and things. And he went there and it was a whole lot of these spooks in this place. And they had him and they put him in a bar and then locked him in there. And then anyway, this other guy was with this detective agency. His son told me how his father had gone, a big detective agency, in fact. When Sherman had gone missing, he went out to try to figure out where he was. He found him, and he and his men were able to go in and rescue him and get him out of the situation that he was in with these spooks. Well, my story, again, is similar because, again, the things I saw and people call me and contact me with, and I'm very watchful of who contacts me. In fact, I had couple contacts just recently, and I'm finding out that that's another misnomer, either to keep me busy or a situation that these people send in to get me to go somewhere so something else will happen. And then the last accident, the one I had in 2014, which ended up with surgery on no other date than September 11th. That was a very strange one, too. And by the way, both police reports were written up wrong. The first one, they should have sent in the Illinois Transportation. That's why I was told by truckers to look and see if the truck had any maintenance problems or flaws that never happened. They said later on that Illinois doesn't do that because it wasn't on a major highway, but I was told by truckers that they're stopped all the time. Trucks are weighed and investigated, looked into if they have any major or any type of crash because they have procedures to follow. But in my case, that never happened. This person that hit me evidently was outside the preliminary of getting that done. And then additionally, the same company was involved with a big multi-million dollar lawsuit because one of the trucks did the same thing where the wheels locked up, hit a woman's car on the expressway ramp of 290. And anyway, she got a huge settlement from the truck hitting her. But in this case, my case is dragged on and continued. The thing is, the problem is that these folks out here are dangerous, evil individuals. I think about the other gentleman that was everybody loved, Bill. I can't remember his name. He was the one that came out and talked about what happened really with September 11th. He talked about all these other things, and people followed him, and he was like the father of the movement almost. And anyway, he ended up with a situation outside his house where teenagers were out there making noise and causing all kinds of ruckus. So he came out and told them to be quiet. He refused. He came out. Next time he came out, he pulled out his gun, and that's when they came out. And they basically shot him to death, law enforcement. And he lay dying, and nobody really called an ambulance until he was completely dead, laying outside his home. You know who I'm talking about. I can't think of his last name right now because of the things that I've gone through, trauma and things. I remember very well of all the people out there that have been either 9/11 whistleblowers or what has been going on, even think of Valerie Plame, Joe Wilson, her husband, who was the ambassador to Iraq. And I think about all these folks out here. I even had somebody who was tied to Valerie Plame on my show. I've had CIA, FBI, DIA agents. I've had the whole alphabet soup on the program that came out and spoke out about what's going on. And then what they do is they turn around and tell you that these people that come out on these shows are all just conspiracy freaks. But again, the government hires them. And they're taught by, they teach your children in these universities and colleges, you know, MIT, all these universities, top levels, they're all conspiracy freaks, and they are stupid, and they don't know what they're talking about, but yet they're the ones that are the higher escalade of learning. Come on, folks, who's lying to you? Conspiracy is not a conspiracy anymore. It's become live in where we are today. I'm watching us move into the fourth right. I mentioned the other day how the eagle represents the United States, it represents old Rome, it represents Germany. All of those countries had eagles. All of those places had eagles as a symbol of allegedly in the United States freedom. But was the eagle in Germany to the Nazis? What did that mean? What did the eagle mean to the Romans? All three had the eagle. All three represented the movement of Rome, control of Rome, the taking over land and property through rights. And what is the rights? And what do we stand on today? I was looking at the similarity between the Croatian Yugoslavia that came in World War One and started killing off all the gypsies and Serbians. Those are the ones that were killed first. The gypsies and Serbs. They killed the Serbs and the gypsies because they were fighting. And they were also, gypsies had mystical powers, they said, and they could mind read. And at the time, Adolf Hitler was very scared of people that had that particular power. So anyway, the gypsies and the Serbians, who were classed as Jews then, were all executed. Huge numbers, outnumbering the ranks of the total amount of Jews that were killed in all of the death camps. There were more Serbians than gypsies murdered during and slaughtered just as they were going into World War II. In the end of World War II, the Serbians were offered a deal, be annihilated or become Catholics. So they changed over to being Catholics and then following the Jewish faith. The gypsies, the few that were left in tribes, moved around and hid. They're still here. But the basis of what happened in World War I came about when the gypsy king, he was murdered, by the way, assassinated. And then the king of Italy was murdered and assassinated. And then rocks started getting thrown. And the next thing, we're in a whole huge war. Same thing happened in World War II. Remember the bombing of the building over there in Germany? And that was the same thing that happened during the World Trade Center. Same type of bombing. First, the World Trade Center went down. Then our economy broke. Then after that, we went after so-called people that were not involved with taking out the buildings in the first place. Then we ended up in the economic swing of a bubble in the real estate and mortgage industry. And that's where I saw the situation, a movement of money and fraud happening. And again, I traced this stuff back and I gave this information to alphabet soup agencies and they did absolutely nothing. Again, you know, how can they listen to everyone else, but a black person can't give them information? In fact, at one point, even Secret Service came out to meet with me about some of this information, but then they were cut off at the pass. This is our country, is it? Is it really? Is it my country? Really, is it? But it's another country that I know. I was born and raised here. I'm an American. I'm not African. I'm not, nobody here is African anymore. We've been bred and breed and live here in the United States, and this is our country. You can try to go back to the motherland, but those countries here are totally different than what we are. And you can try and try to blend in, but you are no longer African. You're American. So that's why they call us African Americans. The nightmare is not even over yet. It's just begun. Because this thing that's going on with Russia and the Ukraine, which we're not really following. And the other thing we're not following is this currency thing, the war on currency. It's still going on. Is it going to be the Bitcoin? Is it going to be the dinar? Is it going to be euro dollar? Is it going to be the ruble? You notice recently that in Russia, they tried to take out down the ruble and knock that down so that that currency will not be within the competing forces of who's going to control the dominating currency of the United States and the world. This is not over yet. Oil prices went down. We think it's because of the gratefulness of the oil industry. Well, actually, that was done for a reason. You'll find out, and that will be another show on that. But what you're seeing is not what is real. And what's going on right now is that, again, enough cameras. During World War II, they didn't have cameras. They had people watching people. We have people watching people right now and reporting back. You know, they have the programs that give them $100 to rat out their neighbor if they see anything. They have cameras all over the place, but then these cameras can't find murderers, serial killers, rapists. None of these cameras seem to work. In no way and no how does these cameras work to obtain these people that are doing this so-called illegal activity. The cameras in Illinois, though, interesting enough, one of the candidates that's running for mayor, he's stating that he's going to do away with the cameras. But then we have a situation of a possibility of a threat in Illinois because the so-called group ISIS is threatening to attack a building, the Union Carbide building, that has been kind of like dormant with nothing in there other than records. Why would you attack a building that has no inference on anything? Except for that has a lot of banking records in there. So you attack that building, and around the corner is another one that has fiduciary records in. So if you attack those two buildings, what will happen? Well, what will happen is you get rid of any way to trace what's going on and where the money is. Remember the old story back during the time of Nixon administration, follow the money? Well, if you follow the money now, you'll see a trail of stuff that lead you to one thing, another, and you'll see who and what is involved with who and what. It's very dangerous to do that because once you start lifting that veil and they get seen, then they scurry around and contact their crowd of individuals and put you in a trick bag like I am. The second accident I had was a weird thing. It was a fender bender. I was at a stop sign getting ready to make a right turn. And I was driving a friend's car, and lo and behold, a car slams in the back of the car that she had. And it was a huge impact. It was, like, real weird because I was stopped. They were stopped behind me. And they just geared up and just rammed in the back of the car. And the guy that got out of the car was notably high on drugs. And we looked in the car. I didn't see anybody else, but according to the police report, there were two other individuals in the car. We were in the car of this accident, me and this other lady, and neither one of us saw anyone else come out of the car from the other vehicle that caused the accident. And also, as I walked past the car, I saw nobody in there. But according to the police report, there were two other individuals in the car. The police report was written up wrong, too. It had my phone number as the number of the person that hit me. They had the insurance information, I guess, from the car they obtained. They alleged that they had this insurance written on it, but there was no such insurance company. And then the people that were taken to the hospital, they had the woman that was in the car, her car was driving, and they said the other passengers refused, but they didn't have me listed as one of the patients, and I was the one with the injury that they claimed my brain had shifted that caused me to have a brain bleed, and that was on August 18th. And then on September 11th, I tried to get a second opinion. And by that time, they said, oh, no, you can't wait, and because I had almost passed out. Because, again, I had pain in my back already and an additional pain from the secondary accident. And then I had additional pain from the neck injury. And now I had a situation with you know, this brain bleed injury. And then after I was in the hospital for a while, almost a week or so, they released me out of intensive care and put me into another intensive unit. And then they told me my insurance ran out of money and they dumped me at the door of my house, dumped me at the door of the place I was staying. And the problem was that when they dumped me out there, I had no cane, no walker, just dropped me off. They didn't know if anyone was home because I'm staying with somebody, just dumped me out in the street. And then from there on, I was been fighting to try to get some type of relief and help. Nothing, folks. So-called Medicaid programs don't work. They wouldn't cover medication I needed, not pain pills. You know, you can get pain pills up the yin-yang, but I needed medication for, you know, doing work on my back. You know, like, for instance, they have patches. They're supposed to help relieve some pain. I had other things and medication I needed. I need to have some vitamins and things. I can't afford it. I don't have enough money to afford those things. And just recently, I even had applied for food stamps. And you know what? This month I got nothing. Nothing at all. Cut off. Mail doesn't come, but I get mail here. 300 of different other people's mails come to this address, and you take it to the post office, and you know what? They don't even stop the mail when you write on there, return to sender, the person found at this address. They still continuously leave that mail here. There's traffic violations. There's mail here for persons that they're looking for. You know, a couple times the cops arrived on the doorstep looking for individuals who don't live here. And the thing is, they got something going on with this stranded. Again, I feel this house is a spook house. They got me in a situation that I am under watch and key, locked and molded. Right after 9/11, I was working this one company. I know I was parked over there because they wanted to make sure to see what I was going to say. Because, you know, I was bringing out a lot of information about these planes. I even have a website that shows the ballistic technology they have on these, you know, Boeing-class planes, that they have lasers and all this other type of things that they use on these planes. They say to protect the planes from, you know, acts of terror and this, that, and the other. But this stuff was created way, way before 9/11. Even remote control planes were out there way before 9/11. One gentleman that was from Israel had a business that was located in a trade center building, and he was either on plane one or two, and then it was described that he was beaten and attacked by whoever was terrorizing the plane, and he put up a fight and was murdered. But then, you know, that came up in a later report. Before, the first report was they had plastic knives and spoons and threatening people on this plane. So what's the true story? The other story I put out there, too, was the fact that if you look at Building 1, they claim the building was hit by a plane, and you see a small little zigzag area. And in the middle of the zigzag area, if you look at the pictures that people don't look at on my website, there's a woman or a person standing in the middle of the so-called little zigzag looking out of it. Now, if a plane flew through there and hit that area, how the heck did she get to the area and she would be standing in the midst of the hole looking out, down, out, you know, to see what hit the... And there was no plane residue or anything on the ground. So what hit the building and left the zigzag? But that's on one of my websites. And the thing is, see, they don't want you to put out things because people that have some sort of spark of intelligence will look at this and say, this is impossible. This isn't how this happened. Somebody's lying. And immediately you say something like that, then they do something else. They do something to distract you, get you to look over here, look over there, keep you busy. In my case, they send people that contact me about things that don't make any sense to get me to work on and help them with in order for me to use up my time so I'll miss out on what they're getting ready to do right now. And, folks, that's what's happening right now. I've been sent, many people have been contacting me, asking me for help. And these people that contact me, again, have these huge issues that are going on with court battles and things. And I'm looking at this stuff, and it's busy work to keep me from looking at something that I might see and put out in the press. And then you might see it and recognize it, and you might be saying, oh, okay, well, don't go in this area, or I already know what they're getting ready to do. So when they do it, it's already like they committed a crime, and you know who the criminals are. So if you keep me busy, you keep me from doing that and putting it on the air. So anyway, I was on public radio when that other situation happened with the state trooper following me. So I made a big, huge qualm about it on public radio and on the radio stations I'm on locally and on the internet and stuff. So what I did after I did that, I got a call from state troopers telling me they wanted to meet me in Hardee's parking lot to talk to me. Now, why would I have to do that if they have a state trooper office? What did they need to talk to me in a restaurant parking lot for? I never went. Never, ever went. It was a setup. And then the second one that hit me in Bolingbrook, I asked the officer for identification. She had no identification on her. I asked her if she had any, oh, I don't have any cards on me. I don't have anything. So non-identifiable police are pulling people over at the time when on the news they're reporting on mainstream they have police out there that are working for unknown whoever they are with badges and guns and uniforms on, walking around in Chicago, and the thing is that nobody's shutting them down. It's okay. They're not privatized hiring of police, but they could be. You don't know who these people are. I remember when a young man was killed in Glen Ellen. There was these SWAT-like guys that had a whole lot of bullets on them and stuff that ran up in the building, and the guy that got shot, that it was totally naked. He had gotten out of a bathtub, no gun or weapon. They threw him on the ground, put the foot on their neck, his neck, and they shot him in the eye and killed him. He was from Nigeria, but he was mixed, and his mother was a teacher, and his father was in the education realm. And I spoke to them. I was the one that got it on to major radio and television because somebody had contacted me about that. Same thing with the Randy Weaver case. I was contacted, and they put that out there when he was held up there in Oregon. I am just appalled to what is going on in the United States because, again, we're running right into a big, huge situation. And if we overlook it, we're going to be right back to where we were during the time of the Rheinstein building that was burned down in Germany, and fingers were pointed. And then when Germany went to war, the Polish people thought they were going to war to fight the Germans because the Germans thought they were going against Poland again. Because they had skirmishes. The people over there didn't even know what was going on, the ones that went into war. Because they didn't have any television or radios like we do today. They just followed the fearless leader. They didn't even, a lot of them, know anything about the death camps until it came out later. And then later on, these other death camps came out, and these experimental places like Unit 731, nobody ever heard anything about that. These things were out there experimenting on people, and what do we got right now? We got human engineering departments and hospitals now. Human engineering is cloning, but they say cloning is illegal. But why they have huge buildings being built with human engineering? You could say it's stem cell research, but also I know it's cloning because they were doing that beforehand. They were taking baby embryos and injecting it with tadpole DNA, RNA to effectively place it into other human, other species of animals, and growing in the baby fetus out and gestating it for shorter term than 9 months to see what would happen. I know that was going on in the 70s, for real. And the bottom line is that these experiments are still going on because this is old style left over from World War II. And we're okay with it because we've gotten so dumbed down here in the United States. All we can do is pull out a can of beer, sit back and look at sports, look at things that are not threatening, and just try to live our merry lives. And a lot of us aren't even living our lives anymore because of this threat of tyranny. Just yesterday, I got information that there was a 200-year-old man that was mummified and still alive, a Buddhist. He was in a lotus position, they said, for 200 years, but he's still alive. Now, you put that in the Google, just trust me, it's out there. It's in the Siberian newspapers. They found a 200-year-old man. And he has been in the same spot for 200 years. And it's called Tarmar or something like that. A Tarman, it's a certain type of position that you use in yoga. And anyway, this monk has been alive, they said, for 200 years. They thought he was a mummy. They thought he was dead. And then when they removed this animal skin from his body, they found out his tissue and he was still alive. 200 years and still alive. Now, is the story true? You know, you look it up and you see. But they said there's a lot of people who speak in various countries. So, how many people are older than 200 years old? How many people out there? We don't even know what's going on. We assume we know. We have no idea and clue what's really, really going on. But it seems that going on in the world, going on in the world, and going on in the world. They're watching everyone. They have drones, cameras, they have everything. But it's not for your benefit. It's not to stop murders or crime or anything like that. It's being used to watch and monitor those trying to trap and get. And it's kind of like the, you know, kind of like Final Destiny or one of these kind of things. You go somewhere, somebody comes up to you, they know exactly what you need, so they send somebody in. And then the truth is, I have people tell me about this situation where they're being gang stalked. It's real, it exists. People gang stalk people electronically with monitoring equipment. Now they can do it with drones. You can buy a drone for under $400 now and follow people and camera and dump stuff down on them. And how are you going to trace that? How are you going to trace drones? You can't trace them, they can't even trace these planes. And I'll tell you another thing, too. All these planes are crashing. Have you ever considered that there's so much radio waves and microwaves and everything else out here blowing in the atmosphere? These planes, once they're up in the atmosphere, they have electronics there. They're blown out probably from all this electronics that they use for cell phone powers and everything else. So it's very dangerous to even get on a plane now. And then you have people out there overworked. People working in these airlines and stuff are overworked and making mistakes. And the thing is, people aren't happy. They're not being paid enough. Some jobs are working people three or four shifts and, you know, 24 hours a day. And miss a hump, they'll fire you. You think of the pressure people are on, you know. And then I'm looking at a slew of murders. People, in the last couple of weeks, people have murdered their whole families, neighbors, going and shot 9-15 people for no apparent reason. And that's because of the society we're going into right now. We're going in a tailspin into a nightmare. They have this thing where people, it's called smash. People just go out smashing windows and take stuff. So they smashed in a window for one of the big department stores and came in there with garbage cans and stole all the stuff out of the store and just moved on. They call them smashers. You got the smashers out there. You got other people with cell phones attacking people, beating them on the street and robbing them. You got the homeless vanishing. You know, stories I'm getting reports that homeless people are out there and they just totally are vanishing off the street. Nobody knows where they are. They're disappearing all over the place, being parted off. I'm hearing FEMA camps or whatever. This stuff is all true. It's reality. And then if you're trying to get work, how can you get work if the job base is requiring you to speak another language to get the job? How can you get a job that's paying decent wages? Right now it's just marketing jobs, a lot of in telemarketing, you know, customer service jobs out there. It's few counting jobs, not like it used to be, not like back in the day, but by the time you provide all these different levels of background checks and everything else, most people don't have to do this. And you ask the same, why don't these people do it for work? Well, they can't because they're being excluded because of all these different levels of things you have to get a job. When I started working way back in the 60s and 70s, you know that people came in and didn't even have high school diplomas that were actually controllers of corporations. But they were smart enough to figure out accounting and do what they needed to do. Bookkeepers didn't go to college or whatever. People barely went to high school because everybody hit this road working because there were jobs. You worked and you made money. Illinois was big on the cattle industry. They had the lumber industry. They had all the major meat packers, everything, bread companies, egg companies, milk companies. Every type of manufacturing type of company was in Illinois, including steel mills and whatever. We were working class people, just like Michigan, Detroit, various other places. But when they shut everything down, the industry got to the point that they said, well, we're not going to share with our employees. We better get cheap labor in. So everything started going out of the country and outsourcing. So now we're a skeleton crew of jobs. And don't believe the hype when they said we're bringing 40, 50,000 jobs in. Well, they bring 40, 50,000 jobs in for what? And who is registered and able to work in those 40, 50,000 jobs? Because there's more than 40,000 or 50,000 people unemployed right now. 40,000 or 50,000 people are out of their homes because of foreclosures. 40,000, 50,000 people are out there struggling on the street. Don't have nothing. It's not even ruling class thing anymore. It's just the haves only, the have-nots, everybody else. I mean, so far less than human. This is the reason why they're showing all these zombie shows on TV, because what they're telling you is you're the future zombies. Let's throw a whole lot of weed on the street. Let them smoke weed. Let them drink booze. Let them impact themselves with drugs and make them docile and not caring. And we'll just roll that foghorn out there. And just when we need body parts or whatever, here they are. Here they are. No different than the time machine. When Wells wrote the time machine, he was talking about civilization that was in the future, where we are right now in the future. He wrote that back in the 1800s, 1900s, or whatever. And when he wrote that story, he was talking about the future. This is the future and where we are now. It's like the time machine. And we don't even realize it. Because everything's so fast-paced. Everybody I'm talking to right now, many people getting up to trying to run out to work. A lot of people out there running out to school. A lot of people just running and running. Other people trying to figure out what they're going to do. A lot of people have bills and things. But I'll tell you one thing. I am being under a huge amount of attack by this is going on. I was thinking about, you know, it over the time. I wasn't on the air. I stopped doing the show for a while because I was reformatting. I was looking at what was going on during the time I wasn't on the air. And the thing was, the attacks have not stopped. They will not stop. They don't care. They will continue to come after you because if you see them do anything, they immediately will get you one way or another. That's how the mentality is. And don't believe one moment, a rat's ass sign, that all these people are committing suicide. The few that do, it's because they ran them down so bad that they got to a point where they've been isolated, placed in a situation that people are watching them all the time. They have no money for nothing. No citizens will help out anyone because they look at you like, oh, you should be able to do this and that and the other with your background. If you're black, bald, you can't do anything. So as far as getting assistance and help, it's not there. And isolated with no help and no place to stay, and become a victim of this new society. And the thing is now, it's not like you can be homeless and just roam around. They will pick you up off the street. And the thing is, nobody will be able to find you because once they pick you up, then you're in a situation that nobody wants to be in at all.
Hold on a second.
So now, I gave you the story of what's going on, and I explained to you where I am, and I'm explaining to you what's going to happen next, and you could be next. You need to decide what you want to do. And when some person comes forth to you and says that they're in trouble and help, maybe you might be able to open the door and ring in help, just like they did in World War II. Because a lot of people remember the story of Anne Frank, and she was hiding in someone's house. Well, you know what? It's going to come to that. But with all these drones and stuff, people can't even hide anymore. And it says that in the Bible. No place to go, no place to hide. That's where we are right now. And looking at what's going on, if it's scary, it's all hell. And if people don't wake up, I don't know what to say. It is our time here in the United States to be able to see what's happening and change this before it becomes another situation of World War IV. We already had World War III with Iraq, Iran, and the stuff that's going on in Ukraine and Korea. All these things are moving in a very, very bad light. As long as we sit there and don't understand the fact that we're funding all this stuff with our tax dollars, and your Congress and senators that you hire in out there that are paid salaries. I found a report that said the senators, some of them are making $142 an hour. How many of you make $142 an hour? Huh? How many people out there are making $142 an hour? And don't you think you would survive real well? Many of them, because of conflict of interest, they're having more money than that and become multimillionaires after they're there one term. Is that what you hire them into or do, or are they there to represent the people? It's up to you. And as it gets worse, it's not going to change until you change, until you start realizing what's going on. The whistleblowers came out and did whatever they could. I had a call just recently. Somebody wanted me to give them information about the late Sherman Skolnick. Not about his work, but about the work for someone else. But it wasn't for Sherman Skolnick's effort. The other person would have not even reached the fame. Sherman Skolnick was the one that caused the situation to investigate the Grey Lord and the corruption in the court system. Sherman Skolnick was the one that stood up there and put his hands out and said, he's a part of Citizens Committee to clean up the courts. The courts out here were so corrupted. He was the one that brought these people in that started the investigation. So the ones that started the investigation after he brought it, they become famous. But Sherman Skolnick's name has gone into the dust. Mike Rupert, he was famous because he came out and brought out all the stuff about all these situations with kids being raped and all this kind of stuff happening in California, corrupt police and everything else. He brought that out. And look at what happened with him. Is he going to be a memory that's thrown in the wind? As all the other ones that have lost their lives and came out for you, the Americans, to protect you and your rights? No honor and no nothing? And your honor, the military men coming back from Iraq, what did they do? They went over there and they lost their limbs and came back with head injuries. For what purpose? To serve the corporations? They didn't service the saving of the people over there, because the people over there, are they saved today? What we were saving them from? And why is it still going on? Why are we? I had gotten reports from the military that they were protecting poppy plants to make drugs. To make drugs, and it was sent back over here, and your kids are smoking and getting high off of it, heroin and everything else. And the military was used for that. But yet, you say that they went over there, and your kid comes back and has got head injuries and everything else. And when he comes back over here, he can't even get medical treatment or cures or anything, because he's not part of the real military, doesn't even have it. I had men telling me that they wouldn't even take care of their families while they were gone. Total lies. Nonsense. And you're welcome. Look at your kid. Look at your daughter. Look at women were being raped over there. Men were being raped and sodomized. There is a nightmare going on in the situation with jails right now, with all these young people going into jail and being put into not juvenile hall, but adult prisons, and being raped and coming in contact with human waste and stuff that could be dangerous when they get out for you to get all types of diseases. Can you imagine that you have right now typhoid in the United States, and some places have bubonic plague, and some places have these other diseases supposed to have been rendered off the book. They were coming back because of the filth and nastiness that's going on. I had complained to the RTHCTA in Metra about the fact they don't have any bathrooms anywhere. And people come into those train stations and urinate. You know, if you got Ebola and all these diseases and strange people coming in from different places, you know what that begins to create? An environment for bacteria and disease in these places that you think are safe. Oh, well, they can't see the poor. They can't see the indigent. Oh, they can't be using our bathrooms. But you're okay for them to go to the bathroom in the street, urinate, and do their other business between dumpsters and things, and think that's not going to cause a situation where rodents are going to come in and open up and set up the pathway for us to get bubonic plague here in this country again. Wake up and understand you're responsible because your dollar's going to this. Your dollar is going to the CTA, and they're asking for more money. They're asking for more money for Metro in Illinois. They're asking for more money for everything, but then they can't have a bathroom. They can't have a place for someone to go to the bathroom. They can't have a warm train platform where you can sit down and warm. They don't have any electric. They moved the train stations around where you can't even find the entrance. They only have enough buses for servicing suburban communities so that if you're out there, you're stranded. Well, there's a whole level of creatures coming in, like, for instance, more and more and more animals that are starving way out from, you know, forest areas are coming into major cities looking for food base. And we're pretty soon going to be food base. Who's responsible? You and your dollar. Every dollar, every penny you pay, every cent that goes to taxes goes to this nightmare. And then what happens, the money is supposed to be used to that, but the money goes into another fund, and the money that goes in the other fund pays for them to get on jets to go overseas and get into other business, and pays for them to do whatever they want to do with your money. It doesn't go towards the services you think. And you people out there that think, oh, everybody's getting a whole lot of glory off of being on public aid or whatever, it's not enough even to pay your bills. Not enough to do anything with. Seniors are walking around in death camps. I call nursing homes death camps. Just waiting to be put to death. And nobody cares. And the thing is, realize this, the fact that if you're a young person, old, you're going to be there next. And the thing is, the same thought process with the next group is going to be the same process and thought process of people today. Because if you don't care about your elderly and don't talk to them, you have no realization of what happened in the past. You have no idea how to deal with the present. And the future is not going to be yours because you don't understand, don't reason and listen. So anyway, I said what I had to say for this broadcast, and I hope I explained what my point is well. And if you like this, please like it on Facebook and Twitter and pass it on to others, because our time is going. It's dwindling right now. We have not time left. It's moving quicker. Because as I look at what's happening worldwide, you got Ukraine, you got this thing with the currency getting ready to change. It's still going on. It has not stopped. Nobody knows where the Gaddafi money is. That's another thing. It's messing up this thing with the dinar. There's money being moved and things are going on behind the scene. Watch the currency. Watch what's happening. Look beyond the scope of what the silly news is that they put out there to keep you busy. Look at what's going on with this world war condition. They're talking about war with Iran. They're talking about fighting with Ethiopia. They're talking about all kinds of crazy things happening over there. And once this war comes, by the way, they're going to initiate the draft again. And that means men and women will be forced to go over and serve in the war and battle. And you talk about the carnage that's going to happen. The carnage is real. And you're going to be responsible because you funded it. So good night, everybody. Email me at danne.burley thebrainfoodcast@gmail.com. If you want to make a donation, please do so through PayPal. It would be appreciated. The other thing, too, is look on the websites that I have under DM Rooley. Just Google it and Google what I put out there and read what I put out for the last, 20, 25 years. There's a lot of information material on everything. And then maybe you'll get a gist of what's happening. Because it's more than just, I don't read reports or look at news like you think. I analyze, investigate, and do a forensic on what's going on. And the thing is that what we're going through right now is a huge nightmare. Through medical, through the situation with townships and police, more and more people are being killed on the street for no apparent reason by police departments. Now, here's another one. Defense Department, just today, thousands and thousands of people's information has been basically compromised again, this time through the Defense Department. You know when they do that? They create false identities of people. You know what's going on right now, too? By the way, certain ATM machines, seemingly, from what I'm finding out, are keeping look like they're going to pay you money out when you ask for for money cash out. Well, the ATM machine sounds like the money's coming out and doesn't. And sometimes you get your money and sometimes you don't. This is some of the most horrible times we've lived in any history. You check it out and please be smart about what's happening. This is Deanne. Good night.